All right, welcome to Black Hawk Church. My name is Chris. I'm one of the pastors on the teaching team here at Black Hawk Church. Welcome to those of you who are with me in this room at our Brader Way location. And welcome to those of you who are watching on a screen in either another venue here at Brader Way or downtown at Upper House or in Fitchburg, Savannah Oaks Middle School. So welcome whether you're watching on a screen or you're here with me right here. We are continuing in our series going through the book of Psalms. This is the fifth in a series of eight messages as we're kind of dividing the Psalms, the series into two different parts. So this is kind of Psalms mixtape and this is kind of side B. And the whole idea here is that the teaching team, we're going through some of our favorite Psalms. And this Psalm that we're going to go through today is one of my very favorite Psalms, but I'm going to need your help as we kind of start the talk. So it's a little different. And for those of you who are in this room and those of you who are watching on a screen in another venue, I hope you kind of all participate. My goal here is to teach you a brand new word. So everybody, put everything out of your hands. And if you're physically able, go ahead and stand up. Everybody stand up. We're going to do a little calisthenics here. Awesome. So you need to have everything out of your hands. So if you've got a sore neck or a back or a shoulder or thing, you get a pass, so you don't have to do this. But the rest of us, we're going to work out here for just a second. So my goal here is to teach you a new word. Okay, don't do that to me. This is going to be easy, okay? So this, what you're going to do is you're going to take your hands, you're going to push them together like this, and then we're going to press real hard for 3 seconds, and then I'll tell you to stop. Okay, everybody got it? You guys, prayerful bunch right here. Look at this, awesome. Okay, on the count of three, press as hard as you can. Ready? One, two, three, press. One, two, three, relax. Okay, some of you weren't pressing very hard. Press really hard, because I want this tense, really tense like this, okay? Can the count of three, ready? One, two, three, go. One, two, three, relax. All right. So when I'm saying the word relax, that's actually a command. I'm being authoritative here. I'm going to teach you a new word. So if we were Hebrew-speaking people, I wouldn't say relax. I would say this word, harpu. And it's like harpoon without the N. So everybody say harpu. Harpu. Now that means relax. So let's do it again. This is Hebrew calisthenics right here, okay? All right. Ready? On the count of three, go. One, two, three, harpu. Oh, look, you did that with me. Awesome. Okay, and go ahead and have a seat. That command, harpu, is in the psalm we're going to look at today. The problem with that word is that we don't normally think of it as the word relax. So the psalm we're going to look at today has this verse in it. Be still and know that I am God. So that's from the 2011 New International Version. So the people on the translation committee decided to take the verb harpu and turn it into be still. And I'm kind of pushing back. I think that's not the best translation. Here's the Hebrew phrase, harpu udu ki anoki Elohim. So if you're a Hebrew person, you read from the right to the left. So actually, because you're English speaking, I put the English words below, but actually the English should be right to left. So it's harpu, that's this idea of relax. It's second person plural imperative in the Hifil stem. Harpu. Udu is to know. Ki, anoki. Relax, be still, because I am Elohim, God. The verb harpu occurs 46 times in the Hebrew Bible. It really never means to be still. Because you can harpu and not be still. You're actually kind of moving and stuff like that. It means to relax. It means to, probably the best translation for English would be chill out. Like, just be chill, okay? Like be chill. That's the idea. When it occurs in the Hebrew Bible, it occurs when someone's talking about, hey, they're lazy, be lazy, you're lazy. Or something like, you know, just relax, drop that kind of a thing. So it occurs like that. So when Pharaoh is upset with the people of Israel, he says this. Pharaoh said, lazy, rapah. That's what you are, lazy, rapah. That's why you keep saying, let's go a second. So he's actually complaining. He's saying they're a bunch of lazy people. That's this Hebrew word, rapah, is the hyphal stem from which we get the imperative, harpu. Or in Ezekiel, when these creatures are like moving their wings constantly, there is a place where they like dropped their wings. It goes like, and there came a voice from above the expanse that was over their heads, where whenever they stood still, they rapah, rapah. So it'd be like God saying, harpu. So it means relax, drop, just be chill. You don't have to be still to be chill, basically. So relax. That's the idea here. However, when you go into Walgreens or CVS or someplace to buy a greeting card, you're going to see this verse a lot. And it usually is on some kind of idyllic scene, like a calm lake or like that. Or it might be on a lake like this. Well, the idea is tranquility. Or maybe in the woods or something like that. So the idea of be still. So it's like, and if I'm going to do some, I got to be still. I got to be real calm, be still. No. The idea is relax. It's okay. Relax. The context of Psalm 46:10 is not the context of something that is just like, oh, everything's good, no problem. Psalm 46 is not about that. Psalm 46 is about crazy chaos. Utter, just when the world is like falling apart and the world is like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it, God says, yeah, you can participate when I do that, okay? What's the Hebrew word? When we go through life and we go, I don't think I'm going to be able to get through this, God says. Harpoon. Chill out. I've got this. Take your Bibles. Turn to Psalm 46. Psalm 46. I'll be reading from the 2011 New International Version. For the director of music of the sons of Korah, according to Alamoth, it's probably a tune, a song. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in an uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done. The desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow, shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, Harpu, be still. And know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The psalm is a psalm of extreme trust and reliance on God when everything is falling apart. God says, Harpu, relax, I've got this. There's a reoccurring phrase in the psalm, God is our refuge and strength, ever-present help in trouble, verse 1, but then verse 7 and 11, they both repeat. So it's really easy to get what the psalmist is actually trying to do, and the psalm actually breaks into three parts around those verses right there. If I was going to outline the psalm, I'd outline it like this. God is our refuge in a natural crisis, and then you see there's a natural break, and then God is our refuge in political crisis, God is our refuge in the end. It's not a very difficult psalm to outline, but it's a difficult psalm for us to actually live out in our lives when things are falling apart. So let's look at the first section first. God is our refuge in a natural crisis. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth give way, the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, mountains quake with their surging. So this is poetry. So what the poet is trying to help you understand is this time when things are falling apart. So he takes things that are normally pretty stable, like mountains are pretty stable, the earth is kind of stable, and it's like falling apart. The mountains are quaking. They're like falling into the sea. So there's this picture of something that is just like not steady. Maybe he's experienced, and earthquakes are not uncommon in that part of the world. Maybe he has experienced one. If I was in a life group and leading a life group right now, I'd ask the question in the life group, how many of you have experienced an earthquake? I've never experienced one, but I know that people have, and it's like, oh my gosh. It's like everything you kind of count on is like coming apart. I experienced a tornado once when I was pastoring the church in Shreveport, Louisiana. It was actually the evening service, and the tornado touched down not too far from the church. It actually came towards the building, lifted up, and about 10 blocks later, it dropped back down and just devastated neighborhoods. And it was like, oh my gosh. I don't know if you've ever been in a tornado or heard it, but the roar of a tornado, you will never forget something like that. It's very scary. So the psalm here is picturing a time when there's a natural catastrophe, and it's like you're just not sure what's going to take place. Or it's that idea of I'm just not in control. I just don't have any control anymore. I'm just make scared, that kind of a thing. Some parents feel this way this time of year as they take their kids to college and drop them off in some strange place, and they go, oh my gosh, we're not in control anymore. That kind of, if you've ever had that kind of a feeling, that's exactly what the psalmist is going for. And in the midst of that, when you're going, I don't know what's going to happen, what's happening? God says, his command is, harpu, harpu. Chill out. I got this. The second section, it's a big contrast here. See that verse 4. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Notice the contrast between verse 3 and verse 4. Roaring, everything's roaring, falling apart. And then verse 4, big mood shift. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. What do you think is the city of God? What would you guess? This is Hebrew poetry. It would be the what? That's not a hard question, you guys. Jerusalem, Hebrew poetry, the city of God. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in an uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The city of God here is Jerusalem. It's Jerusalem. It's where the Most High dwells. You think about the temple, that kind of thing. We know we're in poetry because we see in this verse that there's a river in the city of God. So if you know anything about Jerusalem, is there a river there? The answer is no, there's no river. There's no river there. So let's be careful about literal. This poetry, okay? So back off. It's like he's imagining. This is prophetic poetry. And if you read anything in the prophets, you know that sometimes Jerusalem is spoken of in mythic language, not real, but like mythic language, where there'll be like streams and there'll be like water and that whole idea that water nourishes, that kind of a thing. Isaiah talks about that. Look on Zion, the city of our festivals. There the Lord will be our mighty one. It will be like a place of broad rivers and streams. There's many places in the Hebrew Bible where Jerusalem is pictured like this. Then what the psalmist is going for in Psalm 46 is the idea that there Jerusalem will be a place of stability. It's this place of stableness. You see that in 5 and 6. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in an uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice to the earth mountains. So it's the idea that there's a political turmoil. But even in a political turmoil, God says, Harpu. You know, one of my favorite things to do in the summer is to go to the concerts on the square and downtown Madison, and it's in the square. If you've never been there, you've missed something that's just typical Madison. It's awesome. And what is the building that is in the center of our town square? It is the Capitol building. And it's the most beautiful building in the city. I don't know if you'd take issue with that, but I mean, it's like awesome. Whenever we have visitors come from out of town and we don't know what to do, we just go to the Capitol building. If you've not toured the inside of the building, I mean, you're missing a big tour. It's unbelievable. Sometimes when I'm listening to the music at concerts on the square and I'm just sitting there kind of just staring, I just look at the Capitol building. And the massive stones, it's just so solid. But the psalm is telling us one day those stones will not be there. Because political states, they don't last. They fall. Who of us really thinks that Wisconsin or these United States are going to be like this 500 years from now? Really? That's not the way nation states go. Nation states exist for a while and then they tumble. And in our world, it doesn't matter who's in Washington or Moscow or Beijing or Tehran. Harpu. Relax. God's got this. Do you believe that? We should be different from the rest of the world. And the last section. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow, shatters the spear, burns the shields with fire. He says, Harpu adu, ki anu ki elohim. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. I've highlighted those words, come and see, because they're code language. That's prophetic poetry. This is code words for us. Come and see. Come see this, come see this. It's like prophetic language about what's going to take place. And what's going to take place is that eventually there will be peace and tranquility on the earth, absolutely. But the means towards that peace is judgment. And Yahweh is the one who brings the desolations and destruction. He's the one who makes war cease to the ends of the earth, breaks the bow and shatters the spear and burns the shields. And he does it with force and violence. After that, there will be peace. And that peace will be for everyone. But first, desolations. And then Yahweh says, Harpu. Relax. I've got this. The problem I have with a psalm like this is that as we read a psalm like this, we think instinctively about our own lives and about our own lives in times when we have prayed for God to be our refuge and to show up in a big way and to protect us from some calamity that's taking place. Our parents are about ready to get a divorce. And we pray, God, just don't let that happen. And yet that happens. Or our spouse gets a bad disease and we pray, God, just don't let her die. And she dies. Or we're about ready to get to a place where our company's going to be bought and we don't have a job. And we pray, God, be my refuge. And he doesn't show up. And we have to get unemployment. And the idea that God is a refuge, he's like a refuge of paper mache. And he doesn't show up when I want him to show up. And instead of relax, we walk. Because God doesn't do what we want him to do when we want him to do it. I wonder if the people of Israel ever had that problem. You know, the sons of Korah, the anonymous people that have written this song. I wonder if they ever felt that way. Remember verse 5? Look at verse 5. God is within her. Who is that? That's Jerusalem. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Is that true? Did Jerusalem ever fall? Yeah, you know your history? Absolutely, Jerusalem fell. Israel, you guys, not this massive superpower with thousands of nuclear warheads. Israel's a little dinky nation state. And all kinds of, you read the Hebrew Bible, all kinds of nations are coming through and trampling over at their will, basically. Assyria comes, kind of wipes it out. Babylon does the same thing. Then there's Greece and Rome. All these countries pretty much have their way with Israel. She will not fall. Well, she did fall. It's not a promise that God is making for that reality of this 70 or 80 years that somebody's living there in Jerusalem. But ultimately, all the other nations will fall. We are the people of God. We're still here. We're related to the sons of Korah. Nations, they fall. See the verse 6? Nations are in an uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. Assyria? Gone. The great nation of Babylon? Gone. When is the last time you made a decision in your business based on Roman law? It was a massive empire, you guys. It's gone. And this country will go. And other nations will go. But ultimately, this psalm is about the big picture, not the small picture that we focus on in our 30, 40, 60, 70, 80 years. And when we lose someone that we love, we tend to think, well, the world has fallen apart, you know, our little 70-year perspective. Or we don't get the job, or our parents divorce, or some great tragedy happens in our little lifetimes. We think, the world has not fallen apart, actually. Harpool, relax. God's got this. This is the gospel, you guys. This is the good news. In the end, Christ will come back, and he will establish his throne. No matter what happens in this country, or what happens to me, harpoo. Hey, whoa, relax. God's got this. He's got this. One day, everybody will see this as he returns. And when he returns, he will establish his city. And there will be a river in that city. When John looks into the future in the apocalypse, he He tells us this, Revelation. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. Harpu, udu, kiona kiolahim. God has it. Relax. The Lord is God. Does this mean that we never should complain to God when we lose a loved one or we're praying for something that just doesn't happen? No, absolutely not. This is just one psalm. Read the other psalms. There are plenty of psalms about beating God's chest, complaining to him, and saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's Psalm 22. Caleb will talk about Psalm 130 next week, and that will be this cry of despair. Is there any hope when I cry for despair? Absolutely, we should cry to God. Absolutely. It's all over the Psalms. But it's not this Psalm. Does it mean that we shouldn't care about what's happening in the earth? Shouldn't care about our world, people in poverty? No, absolutely not. Read the Bible. We should absolutely be people of justice. We should care about poverty. We should do something about it. We should love people. Absolutely. This psalm is about the ultimate big picture. And it reminds us of how small we are in the times that we live. And when everything is falling apart, you feel like your world has come unglued. God has this command for you. Harpu. Harpu. Chill out. I've got this. Let's pray. Father, I pray for people that are watching me on a screen, people in this room that are going through something that's very unsettling. I pray for people who were thinking, probably not going to go to church today, and then for some reason they just decided to come because they're on the very verge of just walking away. Because you're not showing up the way that they want you to show up. I pray, Father, that you would give us a sense of our own place, our own time, how very small we are, and that our faith would be in a God who is mighty, like a fortress. You are a refuge. We thank you, Father, that you don't do time the way we do time. And that from your perspective, you just tell us, you want to get through this? Chill out. I've got this. We pray this in Jesus' name and for the sake of his reputation. All God's people said,